This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. And I want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar. And they're located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. And they have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items unique to Blue. They have six items for lunch at just $6. And enjoy their Sunday live brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TVs, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. Be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. Blue Restaurant and Bar owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. And it sounds like we got somebody calling in while we're on the air. It sounds a little bit like Melissa. And we have some great guests today. Actually, this usually happens when I invite a preacher or a minister on, but I invited Joe Benson from Southeast Baptist Church, who happens to be my pastor. And he has dragged Kent Robbins with him and Aaron Duggan. What's the deal, Joe?
Well, we've got a little thing happening for the next two weekends at church called Bethlehem Marketplace. It's our 30th anniversary. Normally, it's the second full weekend in December. This year, to celebrate our 30th anniversary, we're doing it two weekends. So it'll be this weekend and next weekend, 1 to 5, all four of those days.
So it sounds like quite a project, and it is. I know it is. Very well it is, and it is one of the most important events that comes this time of year in Rutherford County, because I think there's probably more attendance at this particular function than any I know of that's anything related to what's going on.
We have a lot of people come through. We've probably, over the last several years, we'll average 5,500, 6,000 people over the weekend. And so it's a lot of people come through. It's a good time.
So what it basically emphasizes is Jesus' birth.
Yes.
And what was going on during that period of time. And everybody is dressed in the type of clothing that would have been going on 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem.
Right.
And you have everybody that would have anything to do with that community there.
We try our best. We try to transform our Family Life Center, our gym, mm-hmm. into the streets of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. What it might have been like the day after Jesus' birth. And we start off with the shepherd on the hill telling the story of the angels coming and announcing Jesus' birth. Census takers, of course, everybody loves the camels and the animals. But like you said, everyone that we try to do... that type of clothing that maybe they would have worn back then. We try to stay in character as much as possible. Mm-hmm. We've never heard of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We've never seen a dollar. We just try to stay in character and sell our whatever we're trying to sell, whether it's a basket or bread or a camel or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then also pointing people toward the good news that the Messiah has been born. And as you wander around the streets, you get a chance to interact with people. They're going to try to sell you stuff. Again, nothing's really for sale, but it's just part of the production. The streets are covered with sawdust, so sometimes it gets dusty in there like it might have been back then. Mm-hmm. And you get to see a wandering prophet running around, and just all kinds of things that are going on. You wouldn't recognize it was it would be a gymnasium if you didn't know ahead of time that that's the way it was. And then, of course, always the most important thing is the manger scene. Mm-hmm. And we have been fortunate that we've always been able to have a live baby Jesus playing that part, and some of them, they do it so well. Some of them sleep, some of them cry, some of them sit up, some of them lay down, but they always portray a baby very well. They do a good job at that. And then as you leave the marketplace, we have a large cross there to remind the people are coming through and to remind us that the story that begins in the manger is fulfilled on the cross, and Jesus, his purpose for being born. And although we celebrate that, that's a wonderful time, we celebrate that birth, but the purpose was so that he could die on the cross for our sins, so that we could have the ultimate gift of being eternal life.
Now, how would you say, when people come out, do you feel like that they have become a little bit more emotional and a little bit more tuned in to what's going on this time of year, rather out there fighting among themselves in a store somewhere?
You know, I think probably emotion is as varied as the individuals coming through, but most people, my experience has been that most people, as they come out, just they feel a new sense of the holidays of Christmas, and the true meaning of Jesus' life and death for us. Some people come out, they are very emotional. You see, mm-hmm. some people come out, they're crying, they've been so excited, and especially for some of the children that get to come through. They are just so excited. And we've heard many, many people say it's really not Christmas until they've been through Marketplace. And I really believe that when people come through, they will have an opportunity just to kind of step out of the hustle, bustle, the rushing, and just slow down and experience the Christmas season for what it's supposed to be about.
It's a monumental task for a church our size to do that every year. And but it's not just our church, Kent. You, Kent Robbins, you and I were talking about earlier, there are a lot of other churches in our community that give a large effort to what's going on.
Our churches as well as our schools. Mm-hmm. We have been there for the last 5-6 years inviting school choirs to come in, mm-hmm. And to sing in the auditorium as people are waiting. Of course, with a crowd of 6,000 going through there, there's a little bit of a wait mm-hmm. to get through there. But we don't want to just sit down and be bored there. So we're providing some entertainment, some Christmas spirit in the auditorium while they wait to go through Marketplace. And the school and the church choirs have been doing that very, very nicely. It's a nice addition to Marketplace, and it makes it more of a community atmosphere.
Do the people from the other churches and the schools, do they volunteer, or do you go out and search for people that you need to fill in that time? Because we're talking about 4 hours.
4 hours for 4 days.
Right.
We send invitations to all the schools. Mm-hmm. Those schools that have already been, I send a special invitation to return, of course. Mm-hmm. And we've had several schools that have returned several times. I've been there, in fact, all the years that we've been doing inviting the schools.
Now, do you direct each choir when they're up there singing? Are you up there the whole time?
Oh no, I'm not directing the our guest choirs as they come through. Their directors direct them as they come through. I'm merely their host.
Well, I know you do a great job, because I know every Sunday, that's one thing I always look forward to, is when you guys are up there, and there, you've got some special singers. You
yes,
really
do
in
yes,
your
we
choir.
Do. A lot of talent.
And I guarantee you, people up there, they have really missed something when they are not able to go to church and listen to some of the great choirs that we have. And ours is right there at the top. And that's one thing that I have always enjoyed, because going to church at Southeast is such a wonderful experience, because I get to hear all that great music, mm-hmm. and then I get to take a nap when Joe gets up there and get a little rest that I usually are missing during the week.
That's right.
But you do a great job. And for a Cannon County boy, you know, I am so proud of you, Joseph.
Well, thank you.
You don't like me to call you Joseph, do you?
It doesn't make me any difference.
But kind of give me a little bit of, I've had you on before, but your road to be coming to Southeast Baptist, where all did you have to go to finally end your journey where we are?
Well, I started on Highway 53. I took a left at the traffic light. No, I'm kidding.
No, he's not either. This is what we have to put up with.
That's right. Yeah, I grew up in Woodbury, grew up in Cannon County, graduated high school from Cannon County High School.
Do they have 12 grades in Cannon County?
They do now.
Okay.
They do now. I received my call into the ministry when I was a freshman in high school, but I chose to ignore it and convinced myself that I wanted to go into to be a computer analyst and do computer stuff. And so I went to MTSU for 2 years, had spent kind of miserable 2 years at MTSU, not because of the school. It's a wonderful school, but I wasn't where I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then I finally just told God, if you really want me that bad, I'll do what you want me to. And so I transferred to Belmont College, mm-hmm. Finished my degree there in religious studies. Then I went to New Orleans to the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary and did my master's work there and most of my doctoral work. And then I received a call to Southeast Baptist Church, and I came there as youth minister and served in that capacity for about 11 and a half years. And then God and the church asked me to step up to be senior pastor. And so I've done that for the last about 5 years now. And that's where God has me right now. We'll see where he leads me. You know, I still got at least, you know, 10 or 15 years before I have to retire. So get as old as you, Truman.
You won't be as old as I am in 15 years. Now, you know, the one thing that fascinates me with one of the things that you did is actually being a youth minister. To me, that has to be one of the toughest jobs in ministry, is dealing with the younger people whose minds are flying everywhere.
You know, it's like anything else in life. It is if you're where you're supposed to be, it might be tough, it might be difficult, but it is so rewarding, it's so fulfilling, it's such a blessing to do that. And I absolutely cherish the time that I spent. I've served about four different churches in the youth ministry position. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it. And think fondly of the times that I had that opportunity. Yeah, there's some challenges, absolutely, but the reward there is also phenomenal. So I love that time.
And Kent, I know that you have to deal with all these artistic people, and we know how they are. And how is it dealing with all those personalities in a choir?
It's a wonderful experience, actually.
I've actually sung a couple of times, you know.
Let's be politically correct. It's a wonderful idea. Anyway, God gave all these people these talents. It's just a matter of molding them together and what God had in mind for all this talent coming together. And it's a collaboration. It's not just, you know, my way or the highway. It's everybody's input. You take it all and mold it together and get a direction going from it. But yeah, it's a wonderful time.
Do you have a group of just special songs that you put in every once in a while? Because I know that your selection is varied. I mean, you pretty much run the gamut of the type of songs that people like to hear in church. And, you know, church people can get kind of narrow in their viewpoints of what they like or dislike. And some like the old-fashioned songs.
Right. That's right.
And some like the more contemporary type. Do you ever get any people to come up and say, well, you know, I would really like for you to do a little bit more of the older songs? Or, you know,
there's always people.
Of course, there's a lot of us that are my age, you know, that are brought up in that way.
I know one person that is constantly requesting a specific song and a specific soloist to do
that
song. I don't know.
I wonder if Lisa Williams is listening.
Actually, he was supposed to have her on today, and she was going to sing my favorite song,
Beulah Land.
Beulah Land. Yeah, absolutely.
And we get it in there every chance we can.
When I was a young kid, my great-grandmother had a piano, and that's one of the songs. You know, they had sheet music for the pianos back then. And one of the songs on there I just absolutely love is Beulah Land. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's a song that you almost never hear. I'm not too sure many churches sing that or play that anymore.
It is an old song, and it may have spent its history pretty good through there. But, yeah, we enjoy reviving it every now and then. It's a good song.
Now, how often do you practice with your choir group before each service?
We have one rehearsal every week.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. It's about an hour, a little over an hour time.
And Jenny is so good on the piano.
Jenny Zachary, you can't ask for any better. That she is very talented, but even beyond that, she has an incredible spirit, and her faithfulness is...
You can see that when she's playing. You can see it in her face, and yes, a lot of the other, yes, the choir people, too. Mm-hmm. But I see you looking through the audience when you're up there. Yeah, and are you seeking to find more talent, or what exactly are you doing?
It's just a wonderful way for me to worship, to be able to, yes, see other people worshiping. Just to join in and help invite them to join in, mm-hmm, to the worshiping time. That's one reason we're looking around and trying to be inclusive.
Now, we've got Aaron Duggan here, and Aaron is one of our deacons and one of our younger people. And you have one of the more important duties, and I guess you volunteered for it, because that's about everything volunteered, is you have the bus ministry.
Oh, we do, yes.
And you pick up and bring a ton of kids to church every Sunday morning. Now, how in the world are you able to accomplish that?
Well, a lot of prayer. Yeah. When we started this bus ministry, we had, you know, me and my wife and Mike, Chris, and Zachary. We had
Maria.
Mm-hmm. We had no idea how to run a bus ministry. But mm-hmm, Roy Dye gave our church two buses.
Which is amazing.
And they sat there for about a year and was just, you know, I knew God was calling me to do something with them, but I was like, I don't know how to run a bus ministry. Mm-hmm. I never even rode a bus much. So to all the parents out there, we brought the wrong kid home. I'm sorry right now. But, you know, we've managed to go out and stay pretty close to church, local community there. Mm-hmm. And we're very familiar faces to the parents out there, and we try to bring them to church every Sunday.
Now, do you go to the parents and talk to them? Is that what you do?
Yes, we do. We go door to door. That's how we started our route and get mm-hmm to know the people. And usually the first contact, they don't usually warm up to us. You know, it's mm-hmm big. You're asking a lot to say, hey, can we have your child on Sunday to go to church? But mm-hmm after you visit with them a while and get to know them, they warm up to you and say, yeah, sure. You know.
Do the parents come too?
Some of them do, yes. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten several families that we started out picking up the kids, and now the families joined, and now they're members of our church.
Yeah, I was just wondering, when you were talking that a child volunteers to come to church while his parents, they stay at home.
Right.
But yet, a lot of times, that particular child will keep coming to church.
Oh, yes.
Which makes an absolute big difference. So that has to have some type of influence on the parents also.
Yes, it does. And most of the time, that we've seen that we have to get the kids first to come to church, pretty much every Sunday, mm-hmm, and that bleeds over into the parents. You know, they something exciting is going on at church, or mm-hmm we have an event, they invite their parents, and then we get to know them a little better, and usually it leads to the whole family coming.
Now, you're in the construction business.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about bulldozers and stuff like that in the heavy stuff, and you and your dad Jimmy, mm-hmm, and Mom Peggy, mm-hmm, you guys are from Christiana.
That's correct.
And got one of the nicest families I've ever met. I mean, every one of them is just absolutely just super people. And your daddy had an accident.
He did.
Was it been 2 years ago now or three?
It would be three this in December, December 21st.
And that was one of the most amazing things. He fell while up on a ladder and really did some major damage inside.
Yes, major internal injuries.
Yes. And every one of us at church, I mean, we were just devastated because I just absolutely loved Jimmy to death. Mm-hmm. And then he went through some of the worst rehab that I have ever seen. Never heard him complain. Mm-hmm. Always positive. At times, for a long time, he couldn't even eat.
That's correct. For a year.
Yeah. But yet, he still persevered, and I think a lot of what kept him going, of course, was his faith, but also a lot of it was support that was coming from the church itself.
Absolutely.
Because everybody was so interested in what
absolutely
was going on with Jimmy.
From all the fundraising events they had and the prayer support and the visits and mm-hmm the meals. I mean, it goes on and on and on how much the church supported our family during that ordeal.
Now, we can get away from church just a little bit. How's business going in this particular time?
It's very slow. It's somewhat steady. There's just enough work to get by, but it's very slow.
And back behind Mom and Dad's, you've got a racetrack.
Yes, sir, motocross track, yes.
tell me about that, because I've been out to the house when they had their motorcycles going sure. and everything back there. Do they actually have competition?
They do. Well, we shut it down back in 96 was our last race that we run it. Mm-hmm. But this past year, a race promoter came to us wanting to lease the track from us, mm-hmm. and we allowed him, got the lease agreement right out, and we allowed him to have 8 races mm-hmm. Once a month for 8 months. Mm-hmm. Out there this summer. So it's the first time it's been open since 96.
Now tell people about it, because it's almost like watching a motorcycle race on television when you're watching ESPN and
that's
some of those
correct.
Other
it's
things. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's an outdoor motocross track with jumps and tabletops and all the starting line and everything, full racetrack. It was originally my practice track when I was racing motocross way back a long time ago, and we decided to, people wanted to ride on it all the time. I said, you know, we can maybe generate a little bit of money off this if we go ahead and open it up and have competition here. Mm-hmm. So we opened it up in 92 for competition.
I didn't realize that.
And we raced there from 92 to 96. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I give up the racing scene, motocross.
Were you racing at the time?
I was. And I quit racing in 95. So
now, what was your vehicle?
I was on ATVs.
ATVs.
Mm-hmm. Raced all across the country and in France and some other
You're
places.
You're a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that you were so world traveled.
We were going every weekend somewhere.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You're lucky. Did you ever pile up?
Sure. If you race long enough in motocross, then you eventually pile up with somebody or by yourself.
How does it feel?
It hurts. The ground hurts.
Well, Aaron did more than just pile up. He had some severe injuries.
I was fortunate that I didn't get hurt really, really bad.
Where did you get hurt? I mean, the worst.
I guess the worst injury I had was probably at Red Bud, Michigan at a national. Mm-hmm. I crashed over a set of triples and nearly severed my right arm. Mm. We don't know what cut my arm, but I guess the impact somehow cut it. But it was a long 10-hour ride home after the hospital stay.
What kind of protection do you have around you on those vehicles?
Well, you have riding boots, yeah. Thick riding boots. You have knee pads and elbow pads, and then helmet and a chest protector. And I wore a kidney protection.
A kidney protection.
A belt.
Yeah.
To keep your kidneys from getting.
How intense is the competition? Because what I've seen. It's pretty rough, and in fact, I don't know how they live through some of the crashes that they have.
It's the crashes usually look worse than they really are, because you're going so fast, you tend to roll mm-hmm. instead of just a dead impact. But the competition's really stiff, and you're going at a very fast pace.
What got you interested in that?
When we moved to the farm when I was 12, I bought a four-wheeler, and I just kept getting a little faster, and I went and watched a race in Cookeville. Mm-hmm. It was just a circle track race. And the next weekend, I convinced my parents to let me go back and compete. And the first race, I finished second, and it was just, I was addicted. I couldn't get away from it. It just grew from there. And
I can't believe that Peggy let you do it.
Well, she did. She was the last one that agreed to let me do it. She thought that if she said that if you buy your own four-wheeler, your own ATV, mm-hmm. I'll let you have one and do what you want to do. She didn't think that I would really save enough money at 12 to buy my first four-wheeler.
Y'all are pretty big at having responsibilities.
Oh yes.
When you're young and growing up, which I absolutely love. I think that ought to be in every family. But Tanner has been driving a tractor and working on the farm ever since he's been able to walk, I guess.
Yeah. We have on our tractors on the farm, we have a little buddy seat. And mm-hmm. of course, we have cab tractors now, not like we used to. Mm-hmm. But I used to strap his car seat in this buddy seat beside me. And he would ride all day in that car seat mm-hmm. and just love it. And then he got big enough to ride my lap. And then it just grew from there. And then as soon as his foot barely touched the pedals is when he started driving.
I've always said he is the most... I don't know. He's seems to be more of an adult a lot of times than a child.
We've always said he's an adult trapped in a boy's body.
He is. He yes. really is. And if I remember right, did he not get on the road a couple of times with that tractor and some of his vehicles, and did not a blue light come up behind him?
Well, he wasn't that incident. He actually wasn't on the road. He was on private property, but he was.
Oh, okay, okay.
I think he was 10 years old when that happened, and he was on a construction site with me, and he was on private property. He wasn't on any city streets, but he was driving a big off-road dump truck, those big six-wheeler trucks, and there was a house kind of across the street, but down just a little bit. It was in view of this house, and there were some kids playing, riding their bikes up down the road, and they thought it was amusing they had a kid driving this humongous truck. So they go in and tell their mom, and then mom didn't see it the same way the kids saw it, and she thought it was something, you know, we were abusing him or something. So she called the Smyrna police, and they came out and said, well, we can't do anything. You know, he's on private property. He's doing a good job. We can't do anything about it. So she wasn't satisfied with that. So she called Channel 4 News, and they came out and made a big deal about it and put it on the news.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that was about. But it was fine.
Well, I know I went over to your house. What couldn't have been that well, actually, it's over at Jimmy's house. And I think Maria's wanted to ask me to talk to Tanner about being too young to be out on the road or something. Well, she just wanted me to aggravate him, is what she wanted me to do.
Right.
Now, you've got a family business.
Yes, sir.
And do you foresee that Tanner and Cole will go into that business later on and keep it going?
I would certainly hope so. I can see Tanner being a part of it. Mm-hmm. Cole, probably so, but I'm not sure. Tanner's always been a hard worker, and Cole is a little bit more on the, you know, he wants to play a little more. So I don't know. They both say they want to be a part of the business at some point in time, but they're welcome to do whatever they want to do.
And you've taken on responsibilities of being a deacon.
Yes, sir.
At Southeast Baptist. Now, tell me about that, because that is a tough job, and I'm on one of the committees. I'm not a deacon. They don't want to entrust that in me, but I'm on one of the jobs, and I can be honest with you. I am of the old school. I'm one of these that when the preacher gets up there, he's the boss. I have been that way ever since I was a kid. In fact, when I was growing up in the Church of Christ, the preacher was the man. Now, how do you deal with that?
Well, a deacon, and we are a servant. We're not administrative leaders of the church. We just serve beside our pastor, serve beside Joe and Kent, and we just help them out when we need. We have certain roles. We have hospital visits, shut-in visits, benevolence, stuff like that. But we're not administrative. We don't step in and try to, you know, tell Joe what to do or Kent what to do.
They wouldn't listen anyway.
Probably not.
And what you mentioned, and I was going to ask Joe about this as we went on, that's one of the toughest jobs in being a minister, I would think, is dealing with people's emotions and the hardships in their lives.
Definitely the hardest part is dealing with people. I mean, no.
Okay, everybody in Southeast is listening today, big boy.
You know, the thing of it is, everybody is different. God has created us all with different levels of emotions and different viewpoints and different backgrounds. And you know, it's not being a minister at Southeast Baptist Church or at any other. Every church is different. Everybody's different. There's not just a cookie-cutter way of doing things. And so you have to try to work with people and work through people and help them see and understand, and you know, it can become a difficult situation sometimes, but we're very fortunate at Southeast that we have a lot of good people that love the Lord, and their main purpose for being at church is to worship and to serve. And when we can come together with that basis, then most time we can work through the difficulties that we may encounter because of different styles and things like that.
Yeah, I've always heard that my old job was a little bit like your job in some ways. And a lot of times it's the emotional thing that really gets to you and kind of drags you to a low point from time to time.
But if I pull a gun on somebody, I get in trouble.
Well, no, it just depends. It just depends. And we'll let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection. And they're at 2568 South Church Street, and that's right beside Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall. And that's, of course, that's 231 South. And Pastor Larry Dunn, ERO Ministry, and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly, they are the owners. And what they do is they buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. And they have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And I've been there, and they do have some great sport collectibles because that's what I love. And if you go in there real soon, you can even lay away for Christmas. And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today at the Gold and Coin Connection at 2568 South Church, or give them a call at 890-2646.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
That Citizens Town Hall meeting is tomorrow night, 6 until 8, over at the Patterson Community Center. This is sponsored by the Concerned Citizens of Rutherford County. They're going to address the Rutherford County's Comprehensive Plan, Agenda 21. By the way, that's scheduled for a vote December the 12th in the County Planning Commission. The Concerned Citizens Group feels that Agenda 21 makes possible losing more individual rights, with such actions as eminent domain. Once again, the Citizens Town Hall meeting is tomorrow night, 6 until 8, at the Patterson Community Center. There are two Red Cross blood drives on Friday, one of them over at the Red Cross office, 7 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. The other is from 2 until 7 Friday afternoon at First Presbyterian Church in Uptown Murfreesboro. In addition to the blood drive, there's also a bone marrow registry at the Red Cross blood drive Friday afternoon at First Presbyterian Church. That's from 2 until 7 Friday, and the church is on the corner of College and Spring. You definitely don't want to miss the Christmas tree lighting on the Murfreesboro Square this coming Friday night. It's like stepping into a Norman Rockwell picture. Carolers, hot cider, Santa Claus there, and the lighting of the county Christmas tree. That's 6 o'clock this Friday night on the Murfreesboro Square. Henry and Werdna McKnight invite the public to come and share their gift of love to the community. A free, delicious meal with all the trimmings. That's this Saturday between noon and 2 at the St. Clair Street Senior Center. WGNS Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
I've got pests. Bees buzzing, rodents running all through my house. Ants chewing wood. And look, there's a mouse. I'm overrun with pests. Pests, but you're gonna be sure, safe and secure. It's the last rites for those pests. Call the best of the best to get rid of your pests.
893-7111. AmeriCare Services Incorporated. Call us today. 893-7111.
It's the Truman Show. A look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back with us, and we'll let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard, and you can reach them at 713-4639, or check them out on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. I think I got it right that time. And what they do, it's Melissa Warren's place, and they go in when you're no longer able to take care of the normal functions and duties at your home. They'll come in and do that for you. They'll do all the house cleaning and taking care of all your special needs. And if you need some errands run, they'll go out and do that, and they'll let you stay at home and still maintain the same quality of life that you've been used to. And I'll guarantee you that'll be a call worthwhile. And it is 713-4639. A great catch. I appreciate that. Now, Kent, kind of run me through. All right, somebody wants to go to the Bethlehem Marketplace. Yes. And give me the dates and tell me what they do, what they're going to see, and how we're going to go about taking care of them.
Well, as soon as you drive into the parking lot of our church, you're greeted with the guys out there attend the parking lot, and they'll get you into a nice parking place.
And where are we?
We're at Southeast Baptist Church at 708 Minerva Drive. Mm-hmm. Just between Mercury and Bradyville Road. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you come in, you're going to go into the auditorium first, mm-hmm. Be greeted there and seated in the order that you arrive, to where the line going through will be consistent. Anyway, you can stay in there for just a little while, probably no more than about an hour at the longest. That's the longest wait, usually is about an hour at the most. And then you'll be escorted over to the second building. Mm-hmm. You first get to go into the Shepherd on the Hill tent, mm-hmm. and get to hear a short little monologue of the shepherd talking about his experience hearing the angels the night before, mm-hmm. and how exciting it was and how excited he was to go see the baby Jesus. They're going to come on into Bethlehem itself, mm-hmm. Greeted by the census taker. And then heading on in, you'd see the money changers and the camel dealers and all the other merchants around in Bethlehem. Wandering on through Bethlehem, you get to see the synagogue with the priests and the prophets walking around doing their thing. Mm-hmm. There's actually a horn blown several times while you're in there, calling all the men of Bethlehem to hear the scripture reading from the synagogue. Mm-hmm. As you wander on through, one of the last places that you get to see is going behind the inn. You get to see the nativity scene, the manger with the baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's a marvelous thing. As you exit, it just sets Christmas into perspective, mm-hmm. For all that come through.
Now, do you get to ask questions when you go through as a visitor? Do you get to participate?
Oh, very much so. This is an interactive drama. Yes, it is a drama, and there's scripts. Each of the people do some research on the, mm-hmm. the part that they are playing, whether it be a merchant doing dye or baking bread or selling animals. They kind of know what they're supposed to be doing and talking about as far as their where. And then they also want to point you toward baby Jesus and the coming of the Messiah, the excitement of that event in Bethlehem.
So it's a great experience, but in a lot of ways, it's an educational experience also.
Very much so.
That's the thing that I think that probably reaches out, Joseph, more than anything else to me, is a lot of people, you know, they've heard all of these things, and not all the people that go through to see the Bethlehem Marketplace are people who attend church every day. It's one of those things that actually reaches out to those type people, and they kind of get a feel of what you know and what you've experienced.
Sure, there's a lot of people, and anyone's welcome to come through. It's not just people from even our neighborhood or even Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. We have people from Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia. We have people from anyone is welcome to come. And let me also mention that it's free. There's no mm-hmm. admission. So anyone's welcome to come and participate. And yes, part of our desire is for it to be a fun experience. Mm-hmm. As the kids come through, I've had the privilege of working just about every, I think I've played almost everything except Baby Jesus. I've been too big to play Baby Jesus. I haven't played Mary either, but I've done a lot of the rest of the positions, and it's really fun to see the expression on people's face especially as they come into Bethlehem and they experience the camel, as they experience the Roman soldiers, and they see these, and you see their faces light up. Some mm-hmm. people are excited. Some people are scared. Camels are pretty big animals if you've never been close to one. And we have we've been forcing over the years. We've had actually one of the camels that comes on a regular basis for us. He came as a baby. And he's grown up with us. His name is Zion, and he will actually stick his head out, and he likes to nibble on you as you go by, especially if you're wearing like a fur coat or something other. I don't know why, but he will try to nibble at people, and you see some people scream, and some people are just thrilled, and the children are going through. They like to pet the sheep and the cows and the donkeys and the goats and all this kind of, and the chickens. Sometimes we have chickens. We've had a goose running free. And so we want it to be a fun experience. We want it to be a different experience that maybe we're not used to on a regular basis. But again, if we do all of that and miss the point, we haven't been a success. We continually, constantly try to point people toward Jesus. And that is why we do this.
And people, you're talking about a lot of work and a lot going on at one time. Where do you get your animals to start with?
Well, I'm going to pass that off to Aaron. When it comes to construction and organizing all of this, he's the man. That's why I brought him, to answer the tough questions.
Because you got four different times that you have to bring them in.
Well, this year, because we're having two weekends, first time ever we had two weekends, the 3rd and 4th and 10th and 11th. The weekend of the 3rd and 4th, we're getting them from Bill Boner out of his...
out on Cripple Creek Road.
Cripple Creek Road. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring them on Saturday morning, and they'll stay until Sunday night. He comes back to pick them up. So we don't take them out at night. They stay in the Bethlehem Marketplace all weekend.
I presume that somebody comes in and feeds them.
Oh, yeah. During the night, we stay 24 hours a day with them all night long and feed them.
So the Bethlehem Marketplace people, Southeast Baptist, pretty much takes care of all that responsibility.
We do.
That's amazing. So you get some of them from Bill Boner.
This year, the first weekend comes from Bill Boner. Mm-hmm. The second weekend comes from a guy named David Wooten. Mm-hmm. I think he's up from Springfield, Tennessee area. And he's been bringing the camels and the donkeys and the sheep for I don't know how many years.
A long time.
And he's just, we don't have to call him. It's automatic reservation for him to come and bring his animals. And he stays with the camel. He's part of the cast. And he's done a wonderful job over the years.
He's got his own costume, doesn't he?
Yeah, he brings his own costume and everything, yeah.
And that's David Wooten.
David Wooten. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you specify the type of animals that you want? Do they have to coincide with that era and where it is?
Right. You know, we want the sheep. There were sheep back then. And then the camels.
It seemed like one time, and in fact, I know a llama was there one time because I was having to dodge him when he was coming off the truck.
I think you're correct on that. Yeah, that was.
I don't remember a llama over in the Mid-East.
Probably came from the Orient someplace.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those exotic animals in Bethlehem, I guess.
But you know, the animals have to be one of the main attraction for the kids because almost everyone I've ever talked to, if you've ever been around Bill Boner's farm off of Cripple Creek, the biggest attraction is the kids, and he has got everything out there from buffalo to African animals, all kinds of exotic animals. I don't know how in the world he does.
He used to have a kangaroo or a wallaroo or something out there.
Oh, I'm sure.
For a while.
He's got everything.
May still do. It's been a while since I've been over to his farm, but yeah, all kinds of stuff.
In fact, I may be wrong, but I think he has some water buffalo out there, and I don't know how in the world he's able to keep those up because I can remember a time, and of course, you've been on the farm all your life, Aaron, just about, that his bison got loose. Mm. And we had to chase those animals all over the place. And I never will forget that. But he does such a great job of keeping them up.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'll drive the back road over and go by Cripple Creek just to look at his animals. They're so fascinated.
They are.
And you know, that's what you and Jimmy need to do. You need to set that place up out there. Get rid of the racetrack
and
get you a bunch of buffalo, water buffalo,
a little
lions.
Duck and Zoom kind of thing going on back there.
That's a good idea.
I can't even imagine the upkeep he's got out there and that keeping those animals.
But the kids love it.
Oh, they do.
Now, when do you get started working on Bethlehem Marketplace, and how in the world do you keep it going for basically, this is 2 weeks now. I mean, it's really a big project that Southeast is taking on. They really do need a lot of support of people coming in. And because if you're going to go through that much trouble and try to reach out to the community, I think that the community should come in and take part.
I agree. Now, we start construction we started last Monday morning, mm-hmm. putting the tarps down on the floor and getting all it prepped for the construction. And then we, Monday morning, mm-hmm. Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, and then last night we put the sawdust in and we'll finish it tonight and tomorrow night.
Okay, guys, we're going to have to put our ears on, and we have a phone call coming in. Caller, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard, caller. Welcome aboard, caller.
Oh, hello.
we're having some technical difficulties here.
I was just wondering if y'all were going to have any chickens there.
Chickens?
I've been there once, and there was a chicken there.
Uh-huh.
And I am definitely afraid of chickens.
Uh-oh.
That's why I live in the city.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because my brother Mike, who is not afraid of any animal on this earth, except for a chicken. He was flogged by my grandmother's rooster when we were kids, and he will absolutely not go around a chicken. So, answer up, guys.
Yes, there will be a chicken there. It will be contained. One of the little girls carries it around all the time, so it's not just running around freely. Mm-hmm. She is carrying it in her arms the whole time.
So, if people come, and they do have a particular problem with any animals, all that's going to be taken care of. It's all going to be safe, and
yes,
there's not going to be a problem with anything like that.
Yes, all the animals are contained inside of pens, or they are being carried by somebody.
Well, and we want to let you know that the last part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive at 2006 North Main Street in Shevable, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, take about a 20-minute drive down 231 South. It's on your left just before you get into downtown Shevable, and I'll guarantee you, once you get there, you will find exactly what you're looking for, because the people there are not pushy. They want you to come in, have a nice conversation with them. They'll just want to know what you're looking for, or maybe just let you roam around and maybe take a couple of them, drive out and see exactly what you like. And if you want to, you can pull them up on PirtleHowerton.com before you leave and kind of see what they've got. Or call them at 1-800-264-6800, toll free. And go out there, and it's actually a beautiful day today. Go out and just kind of rove around and then come back in your brand new car.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Polly Walls, what sets Omni Hut apart from other restaurants?
Consistency, service, atmosphere. We've been fortunate with a staff that's stayed in place. So you get to know your customers, and we're feeding third, fourth, fifth generation in some families now.
Catch the Aloha spirit at the Omni Hut.
Locally owned and operated since 1960. Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
All right, Joseph. Tell me a little bit more about, from a church's standpoint, what are we exactly looking for when Bethlehem Marketplace starts this coming weekend and then the next weekend?
Well, we're just looking for people to come and to enjoy the opportunity to, like I said earlier, to step out of the hustle and bustle of time and to really ponder and think about the birth of Jesus and what it means to their life and the lives of their family and friends. Maybe encourage them as they leave, if maybe they've already accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but it might remind them of a family member or a friend that needs to know about Him, and encourage them to go out and share that good news with their family and friends.
And you're not out recruiting members or anything like that. What you're trying to do is give something to the community and really share with them what everybody there at the church feels and kind of gives them something positive in their lives. A lot of people are really stressed out this time of year, and they're all looking at the wrong reasons for this particular holiday.
And I said earlier, there's no admission, and we don't take your name and number and address. You're not going to be starting getting mail from us and people banging on your door and think you got to come to our church, anything like that. I will say we would, if anyone is looking for a church home, we would more than welcome you to come and be a part of us. It has nothing to do with Marketplace. But while you're there, if you want some information, ask one of the host or hostess as you're coming in the sanctuary, and they'll be happy to give you some information about the church if you request it, if you want it. We would love for you to come be a part of us with our worship. We worship every Sunday morning. 8:45 with Bible study, and worship time is 10 o'clock, and then we have discipleship training and worship on Sunday nights and lots of activities on Wednesday nights. So anyone looking for a church home, come and visit with us, and come visit with us with Marketplace, no matter what church you go to or don't go to.
And we're pretty much a pretty standard Baptist church. I would say that the older people that have been there the ones that have seniority have got the back seats. And then the ones that are just new, then they sit up front so they can hear better. And you know, I kind of like that. I like to have things where they don't change a whole lot. Now, but we do not have a hard set rule that if you sit in a certain seat every Sunday, if somebody new comes in and gets your seat before you, they don't have to move. Is that right?
I don't. Have you ever made anybody move out of your pew, or do you go ahead and switch?
I've had them make me move before.
Oh, okay. Because Truman sits in about the same place every Sunday.
Every
I know
Sunday
exactly where to find him.
We sit quick. Next to Peggy and Jimmy, and then for some reason they don't let Aaron's and Maria sit with him. They sit over there with the kids, I think.
That's correct.
Kind of as a person that oversees all that. But it's such, you know, one thing about church, if you don't feel better after you've been in church, there's something wrong, because you really haven't been listening, or you're not there for the right reason. And that's one thing I've always found special about Southeast, is that people do care for you. If you don't make it to Sunday school one week, then they'll send you a little card. And it's not really a card to admonish you for not being there. They're just kind of worried about
you. You're missed, yeah.
And you have ages where they separate the Sunday school classes, which is pretty neat. And if you don't want to admit it, you're as old as I am, if you can go to one of the younger groups. It really doesn't matter. But you've been, this is really your only church that you've actually been the pastor. Is that right?
Correct.
Joseph?
Correct.
How would you rate the members of Southeast Baptist Church?
Absolutely phenomenal.
Now, Aaron is over here about he's the one asked me to ask you that.
there you go. Let's see, the if I was running for office, answer would be they're the greatest people on the no. You know, we have a great group of people. We really do. And like I said earlier, it's great to have a group that wants to come together and to worship and to serve God, and that's, you know, that's what we're about, and that's what we want to extend to ultimately to our community and to this city and this mm-hmm. county, is an opportunity to come and to worship and to serve God.
And I think that's what everybody's looking for. But you know, there's one stat that I find really hard to deal with. That how many churches would you say that we've got in this area here?
Oh, I'd hate to even try to guess. There's a bunch of churches.
Kent was saying something like 400 that are in the immediate area.
We have three churches on our road on Minerva Drive. There's three churches right there.
Why would you say that under the what they're saying, that 80% of the people who live in Rutherford County do not attend a church? Do you think that's an accurate statement?
Well, if you're ever out on Sunday morning for whatever reason driving around town, there's a lot of people out there. I don't know what the exact number percentage would be, but it there's a lot of people that we know that do not attend church anywhere. I of course, this my background of Sunday morning. We have some churches that have you know, Saturday evening worship too, that included, but people, I think, just don't. They've never experienced Jesus Christ for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think if they ever have that opportunity to experience His love, His grace, and His salvation, then they will want to be in church somewhere. And that's we as the Christian community, we've just got to express that to the people. Jesus is love.
Right. Now, the times for Bethlehem Marketplace for the next two weekends.
1 to 5. Mm-hmm. All Saturday, Sunday, this weekend, next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 5.
And just drop by, and there'll be people to show you where to park or and all
yes.
that. Where are we going to do our parking this year?
Right there at the church.
Right there at the church. Yes. So we're going to take care of them as they come.
Absolutely.
Okay. You need to come by this Saturday and Sunday or the next weekend, or maybe come both weekends.
There you go.
Because we have plenty of people that are going to be there taking care of you, and it's an experience you do not want to miss. So we'll see you there this weekend.